is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
London reporting. Iran calls Putin as Israel plots revenge. That's the Telegraph, summarizing what is now clearly a confusing group of adversaries and allies. I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State and many years with the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Mary, we've got everybody together here in this one headline. Iran's president, the hanging judge, once upon a time, is called the president of Russia, actively engaged in aggression in Ukraine, to discuss the attack on Israel. I want to stay with Iran for the moment because the expectation is that there will be a response from Israel. I won't characterize it more than that, a response. However, the politics of this are extremely hard to solve. So I go back a couple of days to the Secretary of State and the White House warning everyone that Iran was getting ready to attack. Yes, however, the U.S. has the means to stop an attack and did not. I note that the President and the Secretary of State told Ukraine and the world in January and February of 22 that Russia was getting ready to attack and we did not stop it. Is it too much to think, Mary, that deterrence would work more than words? But I'm aware of the fact that Russia's a nuclear power. Iran, to my understanding, is not. Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, in this case, U.S. deterrence has eroded significantly over the past 3 years, as has U.S. resolve toward Tehran. Recall that the Biden administration's first idea when they got into office was to try to restart the nuclear deal with Iran. When that didn't work, they thought they would try appeasement. And so they lifted restrictions on Iranian energy sales, which have filled the coffers of Tehran and given them the money to buy weapons and to pay fighters that resulted in October 7th of last year. Then they tried to pay for our hostages again. The result of that were three Americans killed in Syria at the hands of Iran-backed militias. And how did we respond? We did very little. So we really don't have a great deal of deterrence in the Middle East right now. And the fact that we can predict an attack is a good thing. But if it's not coupled with U.S. deterrence and U.S. action, then it's kind of a meaningless capability. And on those capabilities, John, I hear a lot of talk about, you know, the possible military options. And there are many options, both at Israel's disposal and at the United States' disposal. But the U.S. government has many tools that it can use to pressure an enemy regime like Iran not to attack. It includes not just, you know, diplomatic or economic, but there are cyber tools. There are messages that can be sent through our diplomatic representation in Tehran, which is provided by the Swiss. We could seize assets of Iran. We could impose secondary sanctions on companies that do business with Iran. We could really squeeze them and squeeze them hard and in a way that doesn't require military force. But where we stand right now is that Israel, I don't believe, can allow this precedent to stand, that Iran can suddenly attack Israel directly. I mean, that's an escalation. And so I fully anticipate that Israel will respond in some form or fashion in the near future.
All the players getting involved, this also from London. Wang Yi, the foreign minister, the man who speaks bluntly to the U.S., said Beijing thinks Iran, quote, can handle the situation well and spare the region further turmoil. This follows a headline from China in these last hours that they were deeply concerned with the conflict in the Middle East. Mary, there are routine reports that China is aiding and abetting not only Russia, but also Tehran. So what is the game from Beijing's point of view? To look good to its friends? It doesn't especially care how the U.S. thinks these things are heard?
Well, the regime in Beijing routinely lies. You have to understand that every time that you hear them make a statement or read some of their propaganda, they just lie. I think the goal of statements like Wang Yi's is to appeal to a certain segment of the Democratic left in the United States and pretend that there is some kind of peaceful urge on behalf of the mullahs, which, of course, there isn't. That's a lie. But both the Iranians and the Chinese and Russians, too, are very aware that the Democratic Party is splintered and splintering between its kind of center-left instinct and its more progressive faction. And so that's why you saw President Biden, whereas he first came out very strongly in defense of Israel, he's really walked that back. And now he's actively trying, if reports are correct, to stop the Israeli government from finishing the job and to allow Hamas to continue as an entity within Gaza. So the Chinese are watch what we say and what we do, and they're very aware of these political splits, and they often try to exploit them, not just in this circumstance, but in many others as well.
I want to assemble the teams as if I'm Churchill arranging my horse guards on the Waterloo battlefield. The teams so far, the blocks, the word from the 20th century's Cold War, Moscow, Beijing, no limits partners. Tehran, supplier of drones and perhaps ballistic missiles to Russia. Pyongyang, supplier of ammunition, we're told, and certainly there are reports, can't confirm, that Iran is using North Korean missiles, if not North Korean missile design as well. And those four players look to be a bloc that are creating turmoil throughout Eurasia. Do you measure this as purposeful, Mary?
Yes, and it's very important that we always speak in these terms and not in purely bilateral terms. I tell clients this all the time. The world doesn't work on bilateral terms. It's far more complicated than that. We're in a transitional period where nations are starting to overtly shuffle into blocks that are adverse to free world interests. And there are some nations like Saudi Arabia that are trying to sit in the middle and are very uncomfortable there. Recall that Saudi Arabia engaged in a kind of detente with Iran in March of last year, where they restarted a security cooperation agreement. They reopened diplomatic ties. And yet there are reports that Saudi Arabia assisted somehow in the defense of Israel when Iran attacked over the weekend. At the end of the day, Arab nations, particularly big energy producers like Saudi Arabia, don't like Iran. They don't want this kind of turmoil. They don't want to have to deal with it. They don't like Iran-backed groups shooting rockets into civilian areas, for instance, in southern Saudi Arabia, or trying to start a war with Israel. They don't believe in it. They see it as adverse to their interests, and quietly they cooperate with the United States and with Israel. But the big question, I think, is whether this really brazen Iranian direct aggression toward Israel forces nations like Saudi Arabia to take sides. I think the time is ripe for Washington to reach out to Riyadh and say, look, if you want to realize your vision for Saudi Arabia over the next 10, 20, 30 years, now's the time to make peace with Israel. Now's the time for us to do a trade deal comprehensively with Western nations. And, you know, let's solve this problem. And let's isolate Tehran, and let's encourage the Iranian people who are so courageously protesting still in the streets for freedom. I'm not suggesting regime change in Iran. I'm not suggesting the start of World War III. What I'm suggesting is that we take the openings that are presented by events and we start to retool U.S. foreign policy for the reality of what exists today. The Obama-era policy that Biden has tried has failed. and innocent people are dying. And the United States is risking the chance of a wider war that could draw U.S. troops in. And we don't want that. So why not think more proactively about a security structure in the region that protects not just Israel, but American interests, and also draws in Saudi and the Gulf into our sphere of influence, and to kick out Beijing and Iran and Putin? That's the kind of creative diplomacy I'd like to see.
The U.S. said to believe Israel won't strike Iran directly. We'll focus on proxies instead. Proxies would be the ones we've been watching at war with everyone for these last 6 months: Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, the gangs on the West Bank. What exactly is it, Mary, that the White House is anxious about? We're watching war on all fronts in Eurasia. What is their worst case scenario that they're doing everything they can to stop? I'm trying to imagine their fears.
This is a regime, This is an elected U.S. government that is afraid to exercise U.S. power, that is deterred by their enemies instead of us deterring them, and that fancies itself sophisticated, so sophisticated and attractive through diplomacy that words and conferences and U.N. Security Council meetings can somehow solve the problems that we face. Which is, unfortunately, I think, while it is an admirable optimism, I think it's hopelessly naive. And I think events are demonstrating in real time that it's also very dangerous.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, now observing three wars, and we're headed to the one in Europe. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.